episodes. So if you crave that type of information, that's something no one on YouTube has. So definitely check that out.
It's true. All right. Let's get into
Project Serpo.
Yes. So
highly controversial Project Serpo.
Do you know about it, Rob?
Yes, I know enough to have a conversation with you.
Okay. Yeah. So we have kind of covered this in like a really old episode, but I couldn't even remember which one. I was actually looking for that episode and I was like, man, I don't even know which one we covered this in. But supposedly there was a transcript of a classified tape recording made at Camp David during a presidential briefing with Ronald Reagan in the 80s at the time when he was president, and some aides that he had at the time that were talking to him in private, and he was specifically asking about Earth visitation from extraterrestrials. And in the recording, they just put caretaker. They didn't really label who this guy is. And all that I could find was a transcript, but this is what Project Serpo is about. Basically the whole thing, Lindsay, you can kind of pull it up the transcript. I don't have to read this entire thing, but basically, and I'm kind of going in the middle of this where they're kind of specifically talking about extraterrestrials and coming into Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So basically, the caretaker explains that they were developing a program, which they called Project Dove. And he called this is his wording, it is a complex series of disinformation operations by our military intelligence agencies to disinform the public. As you know, Mr. President, we have some highly classified aircraft. So basically, he goes into the fact that they wanted to keep the presence of UFOs and possible aliens in the public sphere, so that way they could kind of mask what they are doing with their own
technology,
classified technology,
which is a part of this conversation. It is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're talking about the amount of information that's swimming around out there that's fake compared with what's real, there would be players in intelligence agencies that would want people to stay off of the track of those things that they're developing, and then also try to control the narrative within the UFO community.
Exactly. And in the entertainment industry, as we're going to get. So then he talks about how, he says, if you consider the first person who helped us with this disinformation program, Mr. George Adamski, back in the early 50s and up to all the movie productions of UFO related movies, this helps the public to keep their minds open, but also allows us to keep our secret aircraft away from the public knowledge. That includes some of the craft that were lent to us by the Ebens. And then then Ronald Reagan comes in and he says, I always knew that there was some sort of cooperation between our government and the motion picture industry, because, you know, he was part of the motion picture, or, you know, he was a movie star. He says, I heard rumors over the years, even during my acting days. And then he says, well, Mr. President, the first cooperative venture was the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. And then he talks about that was with the United States Air Force. And then he asks, President Reagan asks about the Close Encounters. And then he says, yes, that movie provided the basic subject matter for that movie. And then he asks, was it based on a real incident? And the caretaker, I mean, they're kind of like talking about a couple other things, but then the caretaker just gives this really, really long-winded answer without saying yes. He tells this whole story about Truman and how that they were basically secretly meeting. And then there was a UFO crash site, and then they encountered these Ebens. And basically what we're seeing at the end, I mean, in a nutshell, what he's kind of describing is what we're seeing at the end of Close Encounters of the Third Kind was exactly what took place in real life. And they just had Steven Spielberg recreate it, basically.
Yeah, you know what's so weird about this, Ben, is they say, and you know this, that if you combined the movie E.T. with Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you'd kind of have more of the whole story. But instead of the finger being healing from E.T., it was like a death ray. Mm. What's weird about that is if you look into the Dulce firefight, which is, you know, in the 90s, this became kind of like a big topic of conversation.
With Phil Schneider?
Yeah, Phil Schneider, mm-hmm. You know how he's missing a few of those, mm-hmm. on his left hand, he's missing a few of his fingers, right? And he claims that that happened because when he went down into this hole that they were drilling, he saw three or more large grays, tall, 7 foot tall grays. And that he pulled his pistol and he shot a couple of them. And then one of the grays made this motion with his hand, and it sent out this energy wave or this energy beam, and it ended up cutting off part of his hand and then opening up his chest. And then one of the Green Berets that were there ended up saving his life. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just weird that what Phil Schneider is describing almost seems very similar to some of the things that are in Project Serpo.
Yeah, that is true.
That we know, yeah, came from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, once again, you know, with all this stuff, it's hard to say whether this is all real or not. But, I mean, when you start looking at things, there's a lot of things that kind of line up. I don't know if the Ebens are grays. I think somebody just asked this, and I was going to actually bring this up too, because I was wondering the same thing. From what I know, the Ebens do come from Zeta Reticuli, which is supposedly where the grays come from too. So I don't know if it's like a, you know, kind of like a cousin of the grays, if they are the same, if it's different. You know, it's really hard to say in this case, but they do kind of resemble. Supposedly, they kind of are very similar in nature. They're the same height, roughly between 3 to 4 feet, kind of grayish color, bigger eyes. So, I mean, it could be. It's just really hard to say at this point. But supposedly, there was some kind of exchange that happened. Also, technological exchange that took place. So, and I was trying to find this. And this, I haven't been able to find this, but this is where it came from, the Project Serpo, where there was a reporter in the 80s who randomly got mailed something. And this story, I spent a long time trying to find the story again, and we told it in one of our old episodes. And it was information related to this and how they showed Steven Spielberg the real encounter with these events, and that they asked him to recreate it, you know, and supposedly what he did was exactly how they recreated it. It's just the location was different. The location in the movie was Devil's Tower, but the real location, I can't remember where it was, or they might have not said where it was. It might have been in Utah or something like that, where the original location is. But of course, Devil's Tower is in Wyoming. But so anyway, something similar to that nature. But once again, you know, it's kind of hard to prove all this, but it definitely, and like Steven Spielberg 100% believes in aliens. And if you think about how many movies he's made that deals with aliens, it's a lot, actually. Because the AI, artificial intelligence, like that whole thing has aliens in it too. So there's you know, there's a lot of movies that he's made that's like very sci-fi or deals with aliens. So he definitely believes in them, and he even came out publicly and stated that. So
he said, "I've never seen a UFO," Spielberg said. I wish I had. I've never seen anything I can't explain, but I believe certain people who have seen things that they can't explain. I think what has been coming up recently is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And I think the secrecy that is shrouding all of these sightings and the lack of transparency, I think there's something going on that just needs extraordinary due diligence.
Yeah, and of course,
I agree, Steven Spielberg.
I do too. And there's a new series on Netflix, a new documentary series about UFOs, and he's the like the producer behind the whole thing. So it's like, you know, he's very much involved with all of this. I mean, one of his, you know, outside of doing Jaws, and then it was like Close Encounter of the Third Kind, and it's like, you know, it's just kind of wild, all of this. So I mean,
have you watched Jaws recently?
Not recently.
I watched Jaws recently, and the filming is so good, dude. Some of the stuff he was doing with cameras and stuff were totally cutting edge. And when you watch it, you just forget it was in the 70s. You think that it was, now, you know, it's crazy good.
Yeah, it's one of my brother's favorite movies of all time, actually.
It's excellent. It's very well done.
They were having major issues with the shark during the filming of the whole thing, and Steven Spielberg was getting very frustrated because the end climactic scene was supposed to be something completely different, and the mechanical aspects of the shark kept failing, so they had to like do something else, which probably in the long run worked out better because you couldn't really see the shark as much. And that actually made it a little bit more scary.
Creepier. Yeah.
Because the whole thing, he wanted to show the shark throughout the whole movie and it kept failing. And so they were like, they were just like, you know, some dude would wear a fin thing, you know, to go in the water. And lo and behold, you know, it just worked out better that way.
Yes.
So, all right, you guys. Well,
all righty.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed this episode. These are always fun, really cool conversations to have. We're about ready to jump over to rise.tv where we're going to get into your questions that you are asking in our live chat over on rise.tv. So you can come over and join us for $12.99 a month and support what we do. Once again, we have over 1,000 videos of pretty much every topic you can possibly think of. And let us know what you think. And also we have our delicious metaphysical coffee as well. And if you want your mornings to be interstellar. So once again, you can find all that on rise.tv or you can go to metaphysicalcoffee.com if you just want your coffee. Also, we want to thank everybody who donated to us. And of course, you know, your support lets us do these shows and the deep dives and bring you the truth that the censors don't want you to hear. Also you can follow us on all social media, pretty much. Ben Chastain, Rob Counts, Edge of Wonder.
Rob Counts official now.
Rob
I've
Counts
lost official. Too many of my social media accounts since the glory days of Edge of Wonder, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rob Counts official, and then you can find us on Edge of Wonder, basically anywhere on social media. So, all right, you guys, we're gonna jump over to rise.tv and get to your questions, everyone. So, until next time, we'll see you guys out
on the edge.
Who is the bad butcher of Kingsbury Run? The Cleveland Torso Murders are some of the most gruesome killings that have ever taken place in America. Some believe it was worse than Jack the Ripper's crimes.
On September 5th, 1934, this small, forsaken neighborhood that probably would have faded away into oblivion etched its name in history.
And the weird part is that there were very suspicious circumstances revolving around the suspects. which adds even more mystery to these horrible crimes.
Little did they know at the time that this would end up becoming the biggest investigation in the Cleveland Police Department's history.
Because this is an Edge of Wonder Halloween special, and I promise we'll try to make you laugh through this dark topic.
Get your questions ready, because it's time for our live Q&A session, exclusively on Rise.TV.